Well, when you think about Rapala, the first thing that comes to mind is Great Bates and a long-standing history, but today I got the guy. I got the main guy, the head dude, Mark Fisher. Mark, and the last name Fisher, you got to feel pretty good about working in the fishing business, I would think.
Well, I tell you what, I'm lucky to be in the fishing business. I'm happy to be in the fishing business, and I think, who knows, bud, you know, I think part of the stuff is just destiny, you know, how it shakes out. We're all having a good time doing this stuff, Terry, or wouldn't be talking today.
Well, I can tell by your accent that, of course, you're from Waycross, Georgia, and no, I'm just kidding there. You guys are up from the Hitherlands, from the north, and but you make some of the best baits out there, and this year, 2007, has been a phenomenal year for Rapala, and 2008 looks like it's shaping up pretty good, too.
Well, thanks, sir. You know, with you being at ICAST and seeing our product offerings, I have to say that we are real proud of our effort, our whole team here in product development at Rapala. You know, the fascinating part about it, without going in depth, is there's sure a bait selection that we'd like to delve into here, but also we've got to be open enough to entertain the thoughts that the rest of the world needs. So we have to address all our other distribution facilities, you know, in other parts of the world, and be able to get those baits to run through in a short period of time, because we can only do so many lures a year. That's what our factory is capable of doing.
Well, you know, I look back at it, and I mean, Rapala's had a name that's been long-standing. I mean, it's been around for a long, long time. But for the most part, you know, up until recent years, maybe last three or four, it's been more for the toothy critters. And now all of a sudden, you know, I know you had some great pro staff that have helped you with the bass fishing business, but the bass fishing lures are gaining pretty good popularity as well.
Well, thanks, Terry. You know, and that was part of a strategic plan. We were pretty much preaching to the choir, to be honest. You know, with the walleye and the toothy pike and all of that. And, of course, that had that kind of a Finnish flavor, Nordic flavor, Netherlands flavor, you know, from coming from Europe. And now that we're here in the U.S. trying to penetrate and gain market shares, obviously we focus on bass primarily as well as the inshore market. And working with the likes of the David Fritzes, Peter Key, Tom Mann, Bernie, Larry Nixon on the bass side, you know, we were able to really get our arms around the tackle box of the world, as I call it, which is our brand, and kind of find out what voids we had in our arsenal.
Well, I look at Rapala maybe different than some. I've never seen a bait that you designed that won't catch fish. Some people make baits that catch fishermen, but you guys make baits that actually will go out and catch them. And you talked about the who's who there, or the pros that you used. Can't hardly beat that group, can you?
No, you know, they're great guys, all of them. And you know, and all of them enjoy working with us as I do with them. You know, I've known a lot of them before, you know, they were even aboard here. And the interesting part about it is our lures are designed to catch fish. That's been the premise from day one, when Lori Rapala carved out the first lure, who was an angler himself, to today, currently, where even right down to the price point of the lure at retail, we've had major arguments here at the company as far as where we can offer a lure and at what price point. And our philosophy has always been to bring lures to market that catch fish that the average angler can afford to buy. So that's our mission statement, so to speak.
Well, you know, that makes good sense, because, you know, you can price yourself out of the ballgame with the intricacies of how you design the bait and the fact that a lot of them are made of balsa, and how you guys have delved into the plastic business a little bit. You know, you look at how you could charge for them. You know, you look at some of the Japanese baits that are going for $28, $30 a piece. Realistically,
right,
you could do it.
Well, that's so true. And when we came out with the X-Wrap family originally a few years ago with the X-Wrap 10, you know, that was a bait that had been on the drawing board since 1980, I believe it was 88 or 89. And that originally was going to be a millennium lure for Rapala for an introduction. And I remember the painstaking meetings, you know, trying to decide, is this going to be a $12 bait, a $10 bait, a 9 or 7? And it ended up being a $7.99 bait with all the technological advancements of weight transfer systems and the tolerances for suspension and being able to get a bait that would stop on a dime. All these things that, you know, when you go to the anglers that we've talked about who really know what needs to be engineered into a bait, you throw all those ingredients together and try to get a bait to pop out of a mold that has all that stuff, it's difficult. And our engineering crew in Finland is phenomenal. They've been able to execute the requests that we give them, and they're tough. They're hard to hit.
You know, I think a lot of times that goes unnoticed, is the fact that how much R&D, how much of the technical part of lure design is in each bait. And, you know, Rapala has had a history of building these baits, and they build them so that they work, and so that they work as they say they will in the package. And, you know, you look at it, but there's a lot of science involved in this, too.
Well, you're exactly right, Terry. You know, And here, just 2 weeks ago, we were in Canada on Rainy Lake. We did this last year as well, where we have a contingency of our group from the U.S. at Work Product Development, and then we have a group of about four guys from Finland that come over, designers and engineers, and we get together and we work, you know, and strategize out 2, 3, 4, sometimes even 5 years out with our offerings we want to come to market with. But what we've done is we get the designers to fish with us in the boat, because how we fish in the U.S. is so different than how anglers over in Europe fish or anglers in Australia may fish. And when they see, when we talk about a jerkbait, for instance, they can see it used firsthand. We're using different triggering methods in a cadence, like with a jerkbait, like an X-Rap, to catch smallmouth, which is different than a gliding, you know, glide and pause and jerk that you would use for a walleye cadence. When they get to see this stuff firsthand, it sure cleans up a lot of translation issues you have with language.
Well, and no doubt about it, and I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall there. Here.
Oh, it's wild. I'm telling you, I've got goosebumps right now. I'm no hero. It's when we get together, and you look in the eyes of the guys across the table from you who are really trying to suck out of you what you're trying to tell them, and it's like, you know what, we're hitting on all cylinders. Just believe me. There is such a supercharge in the air that it's just wild.
Well, you can see the products that you come out with. You know, one thing that I've noticed this in the last year or so is the back hook. A lot of them now are coming with feathers on them. Tell me about how that kind of migrated.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is anglers have always putzed with taking off of tail feathers or the addition of it. Where it originated was on Rainy Lake, playing with the bait, and years ago, Yarmo and Rapala and I were on Rainy, and we were smallmouth fishing, and I said, you know what this bait needs? I said, watch, we'll put a feather on here and show you when this bait goes into a suspension position, watch how a smallmouth will come up on this bait and look at it. And oftentimes we know, as you know, Terry, you know, you can change a color of a hook, and sometimes a fish maybe not eat the bait, but they may come up and look like they're sniffing the hook. And the feather seemed to be an interesting part of attracting fish, as we all know, at times. So we have adopted that philosophy throughout the X-Rap family as being something we're just going to put on our baits. And if anglers so choose to take them off, that's fine. But a lot of guys that we've talked to over the years, as you know, sometimes the feather is a trigger, you know, and you talk to somebody else and it's a jury's out. But at that point, we felt with enough input from anglers that we work with, that the feather was definitely another added bonus feature for the bait.
Well, I want to bring something else up that I think is sometimes unnoticed as well, as the tool selection you guys have. It's phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, the tools, I think, you know, years ago, and here again, we've got to compliment our engineers that we have here at our company, because they try to think outside the box, and they look at categories and what can we do with categories, not just specific baits or whatever. And tools were something that they could kind of pattern similar to like what our knife offering have been. We've had fillet knives. We've gone with plastic handle. We've gone to the curly birch handles. We've gone to plastic handles, electric fillet knives, and made a category, though they're all different types of knives. So they did the same thing with the tools and really did a nice, neat job of packaging a variety of tools that we use in the boat.
Well, Mark, I got to tell you, man, it's great to see what you guys are doing. I always am interested every time we get a chance to get together. It's neat to see just what you guys are putting together, and I appreciate you being with us at Bass Fan Radio.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Terry, and I got to tip my hat to you guys. We appreciate everything you've done for Rapala, making us a stand-up brand in that bass world, bud. And, you know, that's where our hearts are at.
Well, no doubt about it. You're a fisherman, and that helps a lot as well, and thanks for being with us again.
All right, Terry, my pleasure. Thanks to you and everyone at Bass Fan.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.